own this thing. It's ours. Come on, let's go. Duval County and 904, let's own this stadium. Make it ours.
Welcome to the Urban Meyer Show. Urban Meyer Show. Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Urban Meyer Show starts right now.
And welcome into the Urban Meyer Show, recapping a Week 10 Jags loss to the Indianapolis Colts. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars analyst Jeff Loggeman and Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer. And good afternoon to you, Coach. First of all, a tough one in Indianapolis. We're in the game late. The defense really kind of led the way, but a tough way to drop one in Indy.
Yeah, we started slow on defense. You know, we gave up a couple of big hits to a great tailback in Jonathan Taylor. But what's amazing is after halfway through the second quarter, they had 8 yards rushing the rest of the game. And our defense really toughened up. And, last 4 games, from my understanding, is we're one of the top defenses in the NFL right now. The staff and most importantly the players have really adapted. We changed a little bit of how we do our business in pass defense, but they put us in the chance to go in the game.
Yeah, defense, the way they bounced back was impressive. And, when you got a great back, if you make one mistake, you get one guy out of a gap, he can make you look bad, and that's essentially what happened. You had different guys get out of their gap, and then, bam, off the races Jonathan Taylor goes. But even in on those two drives, you got a couple mistakes. I thought the defense played well, and what was impressive, Urban, like you talked about, the bounce back. The three drives after those first two drives that they scored on, they were all three and outs.
Yeah, we won. At one point, we were plus 17 yards in field position, too. Our punt team did an excellent job keeping down in there. The thing we just didn't materialize is on that field position, and that was a big flip. And all of a sudden, you start getting the ball in a 38, 40, 42 yard line. You got to answer that bell. And I know we missed a field goal, but the offense did come storming back. Trevor led us on a great drive, and we pounded it in there. And obviously, Aggs is a guy that he's one of the most valuable guys on our team right now. He's a guy that's got legit speed, breakaway speed, and we put together that play to, get him in space, and he capitalized on it with a big touchdown run.
Yeah, the defensive start was tough, and you talked about the field position battle there, and you guys did an excellent job in that for the most part, but the first one hurt bad, and that was the punt block. And a punt protection is a counting system. You have a count that kind of goes awry, and all of a sudden you have a big play that happens on you. It's hard to win football games in the NFL when you give up a special team score.
Yeah, it's inexcusable, Jeff. That's it's not hard. You got the assignment, you block it, and we missed it.
Head coach Urban Meyer with us. A little more on the defensive side here. Shaquille Griffin had another one in his hands this week. Close play there. Didn't get any takeaways on defense this week. Those opportunities are still coming, though. It feels like you just got to grab those sometimes.
Well, Buffalo game, 5 times the ball's on the ground. 3 of them we got it. The other two, one we should have got it, but they called forward progress, and then one went out of bounds. So we all know that. We all work extremely hard at it. The style of defense, now we're facing the quarterback a little bit more, and we expect to keep trying to get those.
Is your defensive staff getting real comfortable? And obviously comfortables can be a negative term, but what I mean by that is that you know your personnel, you know what they do well, you know what they don't do well. There's got to be some comfort kind of in that, because right now this defense, like you said, over the last number of games, one of the best defenses in the National Football League, and they're playing fast, they're playing confident, they're getting lined up, especially in the last 2 games, and they're playing faster because of it.
Yeah, I think, now that we know our players, the one thing about OTAs, and you're not allowed to do anything competitive, so you really didn't know what we had. And Joe Cullen brought in a system that I wanted here. I really believe in that system. I believe in him. I believe in our staff. And, one sign of a leader is that you can adapt. And I believe Joe and the defensive staff have adapted to what we have. We made a change at nickel and brought in a guy that's been playing lights out in Rudy Ford, Roy Robertson, and Taven Bryan, and Malcolm, and Devon Hamilton are getting pressure in the interior of the defense, which is really helping out Smoot and Kay LaVon and Josh Allen, obviously. And then our two linebackers are playing really good, Damian and Miles Jack. So a lot of positives right now on that side of the ball. Boy, we're going to get challenged this week.
Yeah, challenged to say the least. And Debo Samuel's a guy that will challenge you, and that kind of leads me to the next question. Tyson Campbell, I thought he took a step up in this past game. Yep. He had to cover T.Y. Hilton. He looks like he's doing a better job of playing the ball and playing the wide receiver and not worrying so much about getting his head back around on the ball.
Exactly. And I just saw him today, and you know, especially young players, it's great to see him just with the look in their eye, with getting a little bit of confidence. Because there was a time now that when Jamar Chase, you know, welcome to primetime, welcome to the NFL, and got beat a little bit. But Tyson's going to be a very good player in the NFL. We're glad we got him.
Coach, you touched on Joe Cullen. He's been around the NFL for a long time, obviously, as a defensive line coach. It's his first opportunity as a coordinator in the NFL. You've known him for a long time, I'm sure. How have you seen him grow in this coordinator role over the first half of the season?
Yeah, I've known Joe a long, long time. Obviously, he's thought of one of the top, if not the top, D-line coach in the NFL for many years. A good person. We run in the same circles with friends, and, you know, just he's a tough guy. He loves the game of football, and he loves players. And so we share those, you know, characteristics, and I knew I wanted him on our staff. And then his interview went so well that, you know, we gave him a coordinator opportunity. And you know, we had some bumps in the road early on, but I think he's delegating and using his staff very well, obviously. There are a lot of positives right now on that side.
Well, and 5-3 and outs in that ball game total for the defense, I mean, that's about as good as you could ask, especially when you get off to a rough start. And Carson Wentz is also no slouch. I think he came into the game with six games that he was rated at 100 or better, and he looked for the large part to be ineffective. I mean, just a great job overall defensively.
Yeah, he was we went into this one now with number 11, Pittman. There are two backs, not just Jonathan Taylor, but number 21, the backup tailback's got electric speed, and they use him very well at backfield. And how do you play zone coverage and still stop the run? You know, that's the age-old question in this great game. And we were able to mix it up on him. And our defensive line really controlled the line of scrimmage and put Carson Wentz in an issue that, you know, once again, we didn't hit the sack, but I want to say we got 9 or 10 hits on him.
Yeah, that's a lot for an afternoon of football. We'll come back in a moment. The Jaguars offense, we'll get into that against the Colts coming up. It's the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
Jaguars game day broadcasts are presented by Vistar Credit Union, and the Urban Meyer Show continues. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman and Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer recapping the Week 10 game against the Indianapolis Colts. And let's flip it to the offense. Not the start you're looking for, obviously. 6 of the first 7 possessions, 3 and out, some penalties early, and just tough to find a rhythm early in this this past week's game on offense.
Yeah, the first play of the game, we have a penalty, you know, and one position group had 4 of them. You know, you can't do that. And we're better than that. We expect to be better than that. There are some positives that, you know, we played a very good defense and hung in there. And after that obviously slow start, we drove the ball and put ourselves in position to win a game. You know, James Robinson was down. We still have Linder, who should be coming back this week, and then A.J. Can. But still, we're missing the big hit on offense. And that's why we made a decision to put, you know, the ball in. Agnew's one of our best players. Yeah. And he's proved he's got dynamic speed. He proved again he had a guy had an angle on him. He ran away from it. So I'm a big believer in space and a big believer in speed, and we haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, the safety was the one who appeared to have the angle, but a great play design. And Irvin, when I saw that play on film, I kind of remembered back to Vince Lombardi at the chalkboard going, we're going to get a seal here, and we're going to get a seal here, and we're going to run it right up through the alley. That's exactly what that play was for Jamal Agnew.
It's exactly the play that Zeke Elliott took 85 yards against Alabama, and Treadwell cracked the backer, a great player. We cracked him and accelerated right feet, stayed on him. Mannerts had a great block. Our two pullers got out in front, and then he outran an angle. And like you said, that's exactly what you did. You try to stop the defense on one side, you kick out the other side, and that's what you do, create a seam, and really well done.
Yeah, and you mentioned Laquon Treadwell. He had to block Darius Leonard, who is an all-pro linebacker, and that wasn't the only block that he had. I would consider Laquon Treadwell for a game ball the performance that he had, because the block that he had on that long run, he had 2 great blocks on J-Rob's two runs that he had on a scoring drive in a ball game, And then the catch that he made on, I think, on a 3rd and 12 was high and behind him, and he pulls that thing out of the air for his first catch ever as a Jaguar. I thought he had a marvelous game.
Yeah, it was his best game, and I, you know, you shouldn't be fans of players, but I'm a fan of his. He just works. He doesn't, you know, say much. He wants to be great. He was a first-round draft pick, and for whatever reason, you know, struggled a little bit in the NFL, but he's talented. And more importantly, he's a tough guy that everybody's got respect for around here.
Zeke Elliott, I think, is still running in that Ohio State-Alabama game, by the way. Head coach Urban Meyer with us. Speaking of running backs, James Robinson, another game-time decision, was not out there at the start of the football game, came in later. It felt like he kind of got going in the second half a little bit. What was the decision process there, and how's he going now on Tuesday?
Yeah, he's much better. We expect him to be full speed for this week, we're hoping. You know, obviously, we'll see how it goes here the next couple of days, but he's a tough guy, and he wanted to play. We want him to play. Carlos got the start, and then James went in the game. We had a couple where he got him out in open field, and he still didn't have that. You know, you could tell he's kind of dragging a little bit. You know, he had great runs, but expect the old James Robinson back this week.
And by the way, Urban, could you detect a little saltiness in JP's voice when he's talking about Zeke Elliott against Alabama there? I mean, I don't know if you know, he's an Alabama grad, so, I mean, you got to forgive
really?
Him. Yeah, you got to forgive him
a
little
bit.
I'm
sorry I forgot that.
It's been a minute.
He's a little salty.
I'm over it.
But, Urban, your young quarterback has had a tough go of it lately, and some of it coincides with James Robinson not being available. And sometimes with a rookie, they can be a little bit overwhelmed. How do you slow it down for him again and kind of get him refocused on maybe a core of beliefs in playing quarterback?
I think early success is something that when we were just actually watching it, we came out of the Dolphin game, was best game as a Jag, and he hit an early pass and to Agnew. And, you know, it's a matter of timing with the wideouts, the trust of the wideouts. He got hit a little bit too much in this game too. So we got to be really smart. Obviously, we're playing a team this week that's got two elite pass rushers. So it's a combination of all. You know, a quarterback be the first one. And I'll say this. You've heard me say it. When he has a great day, it's because people play great around him. When he struggles, it's because people struggle around him. And we all got to play better.
Yeah, there's no question that offense has so many different keys to success, whether it be protection, everybody being on the same page, chemistry, some things that go unspoken, the communication between players. And it's always a work in progress, but the one thing that you always want to see it to get better week in and week out. And that's always a challenge, isn't it?
Oh, sure. That's when you got to – we're still a relatively young team when you lose your center that's the apex of the offense. And you got a young quarterback and only one veteran receiver. And as a group, the receivers got to play better. Our tight ends did not play their best game. They had some, you know, really good plays. Dan Arnold continues. I understand he's like in the top 7 in production in the NFL for tight ends. That's a great get for us. But we got to play better.
Yeah, he's the #1 target, #1 in receptions, #1 in receiving yards for the Jags since his arrival here as well. And how about the play that got you down close to the goal line? That was a nice pickup for Dan Arnold. And you can talk about him every week, obviously, but he's been the #1 target for Trevor.
Yeah, now to the guy we got to get more involved is 10 and 11. You know, 10 and 11, 10's a talented player and might be playing him out of position at times on the outside. He's more of an inside guy, so we're working through that.
One play in particular, he's lined up in the backfield, and you got a little wheel route, and it just doesn't happen. That play, boy, when you look at that one, you go, gosh, boy, if you just found that one or you saw that one, it might have been a huge play in the ball game.
Yeah, we missed one block on a counter play, too. That's he's out if we make that block, so there's a lot of what-ifs. Offensive football can't be what ifs. It's got to be execution.
How's the offensive line as a whole playing for you right now, you think?
Yeah, they played better the week before, obviously, against Buffalo. We felt like they hung in there. They're keeping Trevor upright. We didn't have our best day. You know, some guys played okay. But as a day, as a whole, we didn't play. You know, we got challenged a little bit. You know, whenever you get in a game like that, you start throwing the ball. We're not meant to do that. And we got down 17-0, and we fought back and made it 17-6, and then all of a sudden you work your tail off to get it to 20-17 with a chance to go win it.
We'll come back in a moment and preview the San Francisco 49ers, and this is the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars analyst Jeff Loggeman and Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer as the Jaguars welcome in the San Francisco 49ers in Week 11. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff time, 10 a.m. Pacific. We'll take that. That's good news for the body clock. Short week for San Francisco. But, Coach, it's a team. I don't know if you watched it all last night, but they just hammered the Los Angeles Rams and held them to their lowest point total and yardage total of the season on defense. This is a team that might feel like they're back in it.
Yeah, they've played great. You know, I didn't want to say I didn't expect it, but, boy, they were all over them. And that started with an 18-play drive. And at one point on the 12 straight first downs, they ran the ball, and they ran it hard. And 19 is one of the best players in the NFL. And I've respected him. I've watched him. And then I actually made a cut up today of how they used him. And him and 85 are, you know, they're the reason that's who they are. They're as good of players as they're at their position in the National Football League.
Yeah, two guys that would fall into that category of being elite players. And when you got an elite player, you got to find creative ways to get them the ball. And in the way that Kyle Shanahan, as you talked about, Deebo Samuel and lining up in the backfield as a running back, he lined up as a wide receiver. I mean, and when you got a great player like that, they try to hide him. But that's something that your defense is going to have to figure out exactly where he is at and identify where he is at, know what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, the offense is triggered around 85 and 19. They have also a good back. I understand he's like a fifth rounder, but he's 4.3 speed. He's fast, only about 205 pounds. But yeah, make no mistake about it, they do an excellent job of moving people around and motions and running the ball. But they also, you know, the ball, Garoppolo does not hold the ball very long. He gets it out quickly. But number 19's has got a lot of respect for him as a player.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell, the running back you're talking about, a sixth-round pick, and they've got a stable of running backs, and they like to run the football. And one of the things that I've seen in the past with them is when they get running the football, and they didn't do a ton of it against the Rams, but once they start running the football, they love play action. That's Kyle Shanahan's game.
Yeah, it's a combination. Everybody wants to do that. You know, that's the game of football. You run the ball well, and we're playing our best. That's exactly what we are. Run the ball well, and it's also you don't let people just pin their ears back and come rush a quarterback when a hard play action run. Because a defensive lineman, it's as a fan and as a – everybody just remember, you can control what the defense does. If it's run action, they're going to play the run. If it's drop back pass and show a high hat, high hands, you know, you're facing with the Nick Boses and number 91. And that's something you've got to be very cautious with in this league.
Yeah, and offensively, the other guy that I would put in the category is kind of unique in that they use him in a different way. Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback slash tight end that they have. Look, not many teams in the National Football League have a true fullback on their roster, and I don't know if I'd call him a true fullback or not. I just call him a good football player.
Yeah, they flex him out on had a big third down completion, like on an option route or drag route, and he's a finisher and block. So they've done a nice job putting that team together.
Head coach Urban Meyer with us on the Urban Meyer Show. You'll look across the other side and see Nick Bosa. What is your first thought when you see somebody wearing the name Bosa on the back?
Well, I'm very close with the family. Obviously, you got the coach of the two brothers, Joey and Nick. His father was a first-round draft pick. His mom was a graduate of Ohio State. And I'm very close with Nick. You know, I love the guy. He's a – you know, we talk about plus two. He is a plus two animal. He's a guy that, he's got extremely powerful force behind his pass rush, but he also has great speed. So, and his sidekick right there, 91 next to him, is this problem.
Yeah, you look at Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa, and both of them have just tremendous lower body strength the way that they play the game. And I'm sitting there watching these guys come out of Ohio State every year. You got the Bosas, Chase Young. Did you recruit all these guys?
Recruited those names, yeah. And Sam Hubbard and Tyquan Lewis and, you know, a bunch of good ones in there.
Jeez, did you leave anybody for anybody else? I mean, holy cow, talking about owning the corner of the market on defensive ends.
Yeah, I heard Chase Young tore an ACL too, and he's a great guy. But we got to focus on Bosa. We got to know exactly where he's at all the time. They make it a little more difficult because they play him on the right side and left side now, I think. Predominantly, he was a left-side guy, so you knew where he was. Now they move him around, and that'll be challenging for us. I'm glad we're home.
On the back end, they've got a couple players back there, but Josh Norman's been around this league for a long time. He actually leads the league in forced fumbles. We talked about this last week with Darius Leonard. He had four of them going in, but somehow Norman has a knack of getting that ball out.
He sure does. And, you know, the guy last week was something. You know, we held on. You know, we didn't have a turnover until the last drive.
Yep.
And this will be a point of emphasis. You know, we won the Buffalo game because we won the turnover ratio. And that's how to win this one, take care of the ball.
And they've got a great middle linebacker, Fred Warner, who is considered one of the best linebackers in football. And oh, by the way, the defensive coordinator, D'Amico Ryans, was a pretty good one in his heyday, too.
Actually played against D'Amico when I was at Florida. He played at Alabama. But the middle linebacker, they told me, he's the highest paid linebacker in football, and he's well deserved.
All right, Coach, getting back to TIAA Bank Field, back-to-back home games coming up, and a little home cooking would be nice, I think, for this team.
Yeah, I always say this, and Jeff, I know you feel the same way, is that our crowd, I remember driving into the stadium last Sunday, or a week ago Sunday, and I saw the red, white, and blue Buffalo Bill fans, and I know they travel well, but I'll tell you what, our fans answered the bell. It looked like a full house, the stadium was packed, and then to celebrate a win with their home stadium was what we do this for.
Let's do it again and again,
I'm
Coach.
In, man. Let's go. Let's stack a couple, man.
Stack them up. I like that. Coach, have a good one. We'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Urban Meyer Show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Our thanks to head coach Urban Meyer. He joins us in the first half hour each and every Tuesday afternoon here on the Jaguars Radio Network. A nice recap of some of the issues last week and the loss to the Indianapolis Colts, and a little look ahead to San Francisco. They get it. The offense is not playing that well right now as a whole. The defense, the strength of the team, the last last month or so, they've really stood up and played some nice football for this team.
Yeah, you could probably go all the way. I mean, they didn't play well against Seattle.
The one off.
But, I mean, you go back and you look at their performance against Miami, which was good, against Tennessee. Derrick Henry was able to run wild. So when Urban was talking about we're one of the better defenses in the National Football League, you'd probably go back and you'd look at that last – four games that they have been one of the better teams in the National Football League defensively. Now they played an offensive juggernaut in the Buffalo Bills, and the Indianapolis Colts also could be considered one of the more high-scoring offenses in the National Football League. So it's not like they're playing a bunch of teams that don't have any high-powered offenses. They're playing offenses that have been pretty good.
And shut them down. I mean, and the Bills didn't have a chance. The Colts, after the first two possessions on their offensive side, had only two field goals, couldn't move the ball much. So that's a good step. It's just a matter now of trying to get the offense jump started. And we could talk about this every week, Logs. I mean, it's the same similar issues right now. The running backs, a little nicked up, and that kind of changes
it changes. Let me just go back. Just one more thing I want to add to the defense, because we talked with Urban about how the start wasn't exactly what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The game and the start by Jonathan Taylor was tremendous. It was like 10 for 93 and a touchdown.
First quarter, yeah.
Okay, he ended up with 21 carries for 116 yards and a touchdown. So on his last 11 possessions, he had essentially 23 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great job.
Fantastic.
A great job. So, kudos to the defense for picking it up in game and then giving the team a chance to get back in it. And a little disappointing that the Jaguars gave up that one scoring drive at the end there, that they were able to make it a 6-point game. But nonetheless, they still kept the team in the game and gave the offense an opportunity look, if you score a touchdown, you win. And that's all you ask. And the offense just floundered.
Couldn't do it. First half was just awful. Bunch of penalties. Urban talked about that tonight. They had one before the first snap of the game on offense. They had a false start.
Yeah.
We can't have that.
What are you doing?
What?
Come on, man. Have one before the first snap. Come on.
It puts you behind everything. So they had a bunch of three and outs in the first half. And then finally in the second half, they had a couple of drives where they moved the ball a little bit more. The opening drive of the second half went 9 plays for a field goal try. It went no good to the right. The touchdown drive was a 10-play drive in the second half. You know, those are positive things. They were moving the ball on the last possession as well. They were in the Colts territory.
I mean, I know we all reach when we start trying to find some positives, and we're pointing to that drive, you know. But, I mean, the offense has to get significantly better. Mm. I mean, significantly better. And, you know, and one thing is that I appreciate is that, you know, we got a chance to listen to Trevor Lawrence earlier and listen to him at the podium. And you can tell that, I mean, and that's the one thing I appreciate about great players. They own it. When I say they own it, they realize that it always starts with them first, and they always point the finger back at themselves before they try to point the finger at anybody else. And I think that's a real positive, yes, pointing this way.
I was trying to think, what's the old saying? If you point a finger to somebody else, you have three fingers pointed back at you. That's the way the hand is formed. Think about that for a while.
And then you might have four.
If you count the thumb
bending back.
That's right. So there's that.
Like.
There's that. So, well, what are we doing? Great question. Special teams issues, obviously, we touched on that throughout the afternoon here. And then, you know, got to block the guys.
Well, special teams is always one of those things to where it's you always notice it if something really bad happens or something really good happens.
Right.
But overall, besides the punt block and then besides the penalty on the kick return, but you can never do that, much like, you know, Urban was talking about, you can't say, well, if we didn't have this, we didn't have that. You can't do that. But the punting by Logan Cook, I thought was good. The field position was won by the Jaguars, which that also, if you look at the percentages of scoring based on the field position start. So if an offense starts at, let's say, the 20 to the 25 versus the 30 to the 35, the percentages of scoring go up exponentially the better the field position.
Urban's talked about this before. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, in that game, the field position for the Jaguars, when you look at it, it didn't start well because you had the penalties. But here's a little stretch of field position for you. Mm-hmm. You had the ball, and this was the fourth possession. You had one at the 38.
Yep.
The fifth possession was at the 37. Mm-hmm. Sixth possession was at the 43. Now, those three possessions, you've got to get some points. And guess how many you got out of those three possessions?
Zero.
You got none. You got none.
To move the ball, get a field goal, something. They couldn't. They would three it out.
Got to get some kind of payment back for the field position battle right there. And that was disappointing. And the Colts, when they had field position, the second possession of the game, they got the ball at the minus 47. They took it in for a touchdown. And that's kind of how it works typically.
When we return, Trevor Lawrence talk. How do you keep his spirits up? Or do you have to prod him too much, I wonder?
What do you mean?
You know, it's not playing well. Offense is struggling. We'll get into that.
All right.
Think about it.
I'm thinking.
We've got a couple minutes.
I'm thinking.
And this is the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, Brent Reber. Glad you're along with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The Jaguars host the San Francisco 49ers Sunday. It's week 11 at TIAA Bank Field. Trevor Lawrence, the numbers last week. Well, let's see. 16 of 35, 162 yards. A 59.5 rating, and those aren't too appetizing, you know. It's frustrating. The offense isn't moving. There's some drops. Wide receivers. You know, Dan Arnold's been the most targeted player of Lawrence since Arnold has arrived here. That also means that there's not a lot down the field because Arnold's not a down the field type of guy yet.
I think he can be.
At some point, he's going to have to be, right?
I think he can be. I think that he hasn't been perfect either. He's had drops.
Yeah.
So he's not immune to anything. But I believe that he can be a downfield threat if they get him in the right position with the right coverage and the right matchup, because I think he's very athletic. Very athletic and very smooth. the two-point conversion will go down as not – he doesn't even get credit for a catch, I don't think, under the stats page for that. But there's, I think there should be a way to include that number into somebody's stats. But nonetheless, I think it was an excellent play by him, and he is really good at something like that. Got quick hands, got strong hands, and he's fluid. I mean, he's as fluid as the guy that we're going to see this week, Kittle. But Kittle is like a –
he's
another level. Yeah. I'm not trying to say and put him in the same class as Kittle.
Breaking news.
Yeah, I don't want
– Lagerman says no.
But athletically, when you watch Dan Arnold move, he moves athletic – I mean, just as athletic as Kittle. Mm. Now, Kittle, I think, is a little different in that he's got a level of toughness. He's a real good blocker, a better blocker than Dan Arnold. But I like the what Dan Arnold has been able to give to this team. And to think about it now, it's not like he had training camp and the offseason OTAs to build a relationship with the quarterback. He's built that relationship because he's getting open and he's getting separation. And I think that they can, just like we've started, we saw in this past game that the coaches started to get a little creative with things for Laviska Shenault. I think you've got a couple guys now that you can say, we can do this for him because he can win. Jamal Agnew, okay, you did that little design where he's in the backfield on the
handoff.
On the handoff,
sweet.
Green Bay Packers getting him in the alley kind of play. And then you've got LaVisca's a guy that you can design some plays for. And then you have Dan Arnold, a guy that you can design some plays for. Now, after that, I'm willing to listen.
Okay. Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm open for suggestions.
There's, you know, that's the trick. What other dynamic players are there on the offense like that? There aren't many.
I like Marvin Jones Jr.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Am I designing plays for Marvin Jones Jr.?
We're not lining Marvin Jones Jr. up in the backfield. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, none of that stuff.
But I'm not even designing plays for him as a, I mean, I'm going to have him run routes and be a primary target. Yeah. But he's not a guy that I'm burning the film up and I got my Einstein board and we're going to figure out a way to get Marvin Jones Jr. the ball. He's not one of those guys. And I think that's, you know, that's why when you can get a weapon like a Deebo Samuel, or you can get a weapon like a Pittman, who the Colts have, who I think he's just starting to scratch the surface, but he's a top 10 wide receiver. Those are the guys that you need to get.
Yeah, I agree. Got to have
But here's the deal, JP.
Yes.
Are you getting them right now?
No.
When do you get them?
You get them in, free agency and the draft. Those are the two player acquisition
times. So you either should have gotten them already.
Or you're going to get them.
Or you got to get them coming up.
That's
right. And I've said this before. You can't fix everything in 1 year. You can't do it. You'd like to, but you can't do it just because you can't allocate the resources to just that position. You got to address everything. I mean, this Jaguars defense, you look at them, okay? Last year, they were 30th in the league against the run. Dead last, I think, in the National Football League in sacks with 18. Or it might have been second.
It was close. Yeah, it was very close.
Right at the bottom.
Yep.
Okay, they go from 30th against the run to now they're 11th. And also, they're one of the top five teams. I think they're like number five in yards per rush allowed.
It's good.
So they've addressed that.
Real nice.
So that's good.
Put a lot of money into it. Yeah, we talked about it.
They've gotten better against the pass. Okay, last year, they had 18 sacks. How many they got now? 16?
Yeah.
17?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you exactly. 16. So they're two away from matching the season total from last year.
It's good. Improvement.
But you can't. But you can't address everything. And then also, you felt like some of the guys that you had, DJ Chark, okay, these guys would be able to play and they would be significant contributors. Now you've missed a little bit in some waiver wire acquisitions, guys you acquired in the offseason. They're not producing for you. But that happens. That happens. And so next year, the draft, free agency, you have to, and they address the tight end. But now next year, you got to address the wide receiver position. You got to address the weapons for the quarterback. Etienne was going to be a guy to help the quarterback. He can't help him. But next year, I think you'll also have, and you know, you don't want to keep saying that to people in midseason, next year, next year, next year. Because at some point, you got to say this year.
Yeah, I mean, right? They got to win now, right? At some point, you got to start winning.
But there's no question that you have to give this quarterback better options.
We'll return and take a closer look at San Francisco's weapons. Both sides of the ball. They have guys that can play. They got a big win on Monday Night Football last night as well. And this is the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
We're back. The Urban Meyer Show rolling along. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. The Jaguars face the San Francisco 49ers coming up in Week 11 at TIAA Bank Field. A San Francisco team that beat the hell out of the L.A. Rams last night on Monday Night Football. Logs. They shut down Matthew Stafford and an offense that had added OBJ. You know, Woods is out. He's got a knee injury. They've got all these weapons everywhere. Their defense is loaded. They just ran the ball on them all night.
What part of that game did you enjoy the most?
The opening drive for San Francisco.
Pretty good, right?
They went right down the field and took the entire first quarter to do it.
One of my highlights was watching Jalen Ramsey just crying on the sideline. Just, you know, barking at the coach.
Well, careful what you wish for, because we're about 3 weeks away from going to see him at SoFi Stadium.
I know. Look, and if he plays well, I mean, more power to him. And I've never had a personal problem with Jalen. I mean, I've always gotten along with him well. But some of his antics here, I was not a big fan of. And the antics that you saw last night, I was just going, man, it's good not to have that antic here. But I can tell you this. You'd love to have him the player without the antics. He's an exceptional player.
No doubt about that. Mean,
and I don't know if he's the best corner in the league. I haven't seen everybody play, but he is certainly one of the better corners in the league.
When he wants to be, he can be.
That's one of the things with Jalen, when he wants to be. Mm-hmm. And don't let him give something up, because he'll point the finger and blame somebody else when it's his fault.
Well, I'll say this. Debo Samuel can make a lot of people look bad the way he plays for San Francisco, and they lined him up in the backfield last night. They had not really run him a lot this season. He'd only had 6 carries all season long entering the game. He had 5 last night for 36 yards, including a touchdown run. Samuel, of course, 97 yards receiving and another score through the air last night for the 49ers, and he can get it done. He's second in the league in receiving yards. He's 4th in the league in yards per reception. He runs after the catch better than anybody in the league right now, and that is a huge challenge.
I was just checking our sheet, you know, our pregame thing where we do our fantasy football picks to see if anybody had Debo Samuel this week, and I don't see anybody that did. That's a good thing. That would have been a bad thing I wish I'd picked him.
Yeah.
I had Mike Evans, and the Bucks didn't do so good. That's all right. And by the way, I said this to JP earlier. I got a call.
Oh, here we go. See, all right, we're already off the
no,
train
I'm,
track.
No, I gotta say this because I want people to track and see if this holds true. Okay, JP has a tendency in our in-game updates from around the National Football League.
They are the ViStar scoreboard updates, for the record.
Okay, ViStar scoreboard updates. JP has a tendency to highlight his fantasy picks of the day.
Well, I must say that if Dak Prescott throws for 2 and runs for another, it must be reported. I'm just reporting facts. I don't know who I picked. Dallas has beaten the hell out of Atlanta.
And here's the crazy part. When I can hear the sneering in your voice when you do it.
There's somebody else. What is somebody else's fantasy guy that's doing well? Yeah, great.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of funny, but it's entertaining. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for listening. Yeah. We appreciate that. The ViaStar scoreboard updates.
And I always want to comment on it, but I mean, but Frank must not pay attention to it because, I mean.
Well, you guys got a game to call. What are you worried about that for?
I mean, you can do both. You can remember what your fantasy picks were and then also concentrate on the game at hand.
Well, let me remember the fantasy picks. You guys handle the game action.
JP is. I'll remind you're fired you. Up Don't because worry. You are. You are.
All I know is that Dak Prescott had two passing and one running last week. That's all I know.
And you have been the wire to wire leader so far in our fantasy picks,
and still will be. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. Our final thoughts ahead of the Jags and the 49ers coming up this Sunday. And this is the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Urban Meyer Show. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman, the Jaguars and the San Francisco 49ers. It's week 11 at TIAA Bank Field, and it is a long, long, long trip for San Francisco. On a short week, three time zones away, an early body clock game for them, 1 o'clock here, 10 o'clock there, all of that stacking up against San Fran. We need to remind them of that in the tunnel. Put a sign out there that it's really early in the morning and you've traveled a long way and you're sore from Monday night. You know, like in Denver, they have the altitude sickness is real.
Yeah.
Yeah, time zones are real.
You got to play the mental games with
them. Yeah.
I wonder, because going to the West Coast is easier, I think. It's always easier traveling west as opposed to traveling east. Mm-hmm. And I never had to experience that as a player of coming from the West Coast to the East Coast. Jeez. But I can't imagine, because, I mean, it'd be like us having to go to London and play the next day, right. Kind of somewhat. Obviously, the flight's not quite that long, but it's
long.
It's 5 hours,
it's
right?
It's healthy.
Is it about 5 hours from San Francisco to here?
I mean, it's got to be at least four.
Maybe four,
right?
And a half, four and a half, five, somewhere right in that range.
Four or
I
five.
Mean, that's a poke. Mm-hmm. So I know that some West Coast teams believe in traveling on a Friday to come far to the east. So I wonder if the 49ers will do that.
I mean, the schedule makers did them no favors on this.
I know, in a short week, Monday night game, and then having to jump on a plane and fly to Jacksonville for a Sunday game, 1 o'clock game, that's part sort of the challenge of being a West Coast team. You know, it is what it is, and you just deal with it. And I think that if you have a coach that doesn't make it a big deal, then I think it's easier to be able to stomach as a team. I always kind of got upset with coaches when they would complain about a schedule when it comes out.
Oh, you're not play.
Well, the reason I say that I would have a problem with it is because what purpose does that serve?
Yeah, right.
Is it going to get you a better schedule next year? Is it going to get you a schedule change this year? All it does is it's giving your team an excuse.
Mm.
So you don't talk about it in that light.
Anytime, anywhere.
That's
Logs.
The way you face it.
The way it should be.
They give us the schedule, we play it.
Let's go.
And we'll be ready. That's how you take it.
I like that.
Simple.
I like that. Well, now, the task at hand this week against a San Francisco team that has some playmakers. They ran the ball well Monday night. They're good on defense, and they have some stars on that side of the ball.
The Bosa challenge is going to be one to watch.
Yeah.
That's because the Jaguars, I mean, looking in the tackles, Cam has gotten a little bit better. Juwan has struggled at times, and Nick Bosa will flip sides. Where will he be at on third and long? You'll find out pretty quick what the 49ers think about the Jaguars' tackles when it's third and seven and third and eight, and where's Nick Bosa going to line up? If he lines up on his left, they don't think very much of Juwan Taylor compared to Cam Robinson. If he's lining up on the right and the left, then they feel equally great about both tackles. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
You think Nick Bosa is a guy who can, hey, you know what, get out of my spot. I'm going to line up here. Does he have that authority to –
He's got that ability.
Ability, but can he be like, you know what, now I'm going to move?
Well, I mean, every
here.
Coach is different as okay. far as how that works out. Most of the got coaches it. Don't give the player the liberal freedom to be able to do that.
Okay.
But if you have a great player and he tells the coach, I can beat this guy,
okay.
if the coach is smart, you're going to believe him.
Yeah, go prove
because
it.
If he believes he can do it, he's got confidence to do it.
Logs, well done. We'll talk to you as the week goes along here.
You got it.
Jeff Loggeman out of here. Thanks to Joe Fortunato, Brent Reber, our entire crew, head coach Urban Meyer. I'm JP Shadrick. This has been the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.